B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psochim Daf Chof Aleph. We're going to start the beginning of the second perek, Perek Kol Shor. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shor, all the while, any hour, Shemuta Lechil, that one's allowed to eat chometz, then obviously, Machil Lebehema, one's allowed to feed one's animal with chometz, Lechaya, not only to a domesticated animal, also to a wild animal, a beast, Ula Oifois, and to birds, Ummeichar Lenochri, and he can sell it to a goy, umutar bahan osoy, and otherwise derive benefit and pleasure from it. And the Gemara is going to discuss why we need such a lengthy list. The next halacha, ovar zmanoy, once it's no longer mutar to eat the chometz, and that means from the beginning of the sixth hour, osor bahan osoy, then midrabonon, you're not allowed to have any hana, any benefit from the chometz from the beginning of the sixth hour. This seems to be common sense that if one's not allowed to have hanor, one is also not allowed to put it into one's oven, into one's stove, and heat up the stove with it. That's also a form of benefit and pleasure. And we'll have to see in the Gemara why the Mishnah singles out that not only is one not allowed to have pleasure from it, one's also not allowed to burn the chometz in one's oven. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein biur chometz elo sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda says that the way to do the mitzvah of biur chometz, of disposing of chometz, is by burning the chometz. The chachomim say not only is one allowed to burn the chometz, but af mefarir, one can crumble up the chometz v'zoyer leruach and scatter it in the wind, oy matil leyam, or cast it into the sea. Those are also legitimate ways of disposing of chometz before Pesach. Continues the Gemara, says the Gemara, Kol shor shemuta lechil machil. All the while that a person is allowed to eat, all those hours on the Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, that a person is allowed to eat the chometz, machil, he's also allowed to feed his animals. We can deduce from there, Ho kol shor she'enoi mutar lechil, as soon as a person is no longer allowed to eat chometz, einoi machil, he's also not allowed to feed his animals with it. So the Gemara is saying, Leima masnisin doloik Rabbi Yehuda. It would seem that this section of the Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Di'i Rabbi Yehuda, because if the Mishnah were following Rabbi Yehuda, ho'ika chomish, the fifth hour of Erev Pesach, the fifth hour of the day, and as we've already said previously, the hours here do not mean hours on the clock, it means a 12th of the day is considered an hour of the day, and the fifth hour in the day, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person is not allowed to eat chometz anymore, umachil, nonetheless, he's still allowed to feed his animals with chometz. And our Mishnah seems to say one's only allowed to feed one's animal with chometz all the while that the person is allowed to eat chometz. Where did we see this, Rabbi Yehuda? Did none? We learnt in a Mishnah, and we've seen this already in the first Pirik. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Oichlin kol chomesh v'sorifin b'tchilas sheish. Rabbi Meir says the first 5 hours of the day one's allowed to eat chometz, one's allowed to feed the chometz to one's animals. V'sorifin b'tchilas sheish, from the beginning of the sixth hour of the day, one is no longer allowed to eat the chometz, one's no longer allowed to feed one's animal with the chometz, one has to dispose of the chometz. Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Rabbi Meir and says, Oichlin kol arba. People are allowed to eat the chometz only for the first 4 hours of Erev Pesach. V'toilin kol chomesh, in the fifth hour it's hanging. One's not required yet to dispose of the chometz, but one's not allowed to eat the chometz anymore. And in that fifth hour, one is allowed to feed one's animals with the chometz. V'sorifin b'tzchilas sheish. And one has to burn the chometz. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir on this point, that the beginning of the sixth hour is the time for the chometz to be burnt. So you see clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the fifth hour, a person himself is not allowed to eat the chometz, but he's allowed to feed his animals with chometz. And that doesn't seem to be what our Mishnah is saying, that kol shor shemuta lechil machil, only allowed to feed your animals chometz all the while that you yourself are allowed to eat chometz. Ve'elomai, says the Gemara, what are you suggesting? Rabbi Meir, so the Mishnah must be Rabbi Meir, who says that for the first 5 hours of the day, a person can eat and feed his animals. In the sixth hour, he can neither eat nor feed his animals with them. The Mishnah seems to be conforming with Rabbi Meir. But we have another issue with that. Hai kol shor shemuta lechil machil. The term that the Mishnah uses, so to speak, speaking about two people. Kol shor shemuta lechil, all the while that it's permitted to eat, then machil lebehema lechaya ulaoifois. That's what the Mishnah says. And really what it should say, kol shor she'oichel machil, she'mutter lechel, seems to be that all the while that it's mutter, it's permitted for somebody to eat, then everybody else is allowed to feed the animals with it, as if we're talking about two different people. We're talking about somebody who's mutter to do something and everybody else who's allowed to do something else. According to Reb Meir, the Mishnah should just have said, kol shor she'oichel machil, all the while that you can eat, you can feed your animals. What's the word mutter doing here? It seems to be that a person's allowed to feed his animals with chometz depending on a permission that somebody else has. And that's not Reb Meir either. So that's what the Gemara says. Kol shor she'oichel machil miboyele. The Mishnah should have said, all the while that one can eat, one can feed one's animals. Omar Rabbi Bar Ula. Rabbi Bar Ula says, you know who the Mishnah is following? Not Reb Yehuda and not Reb Meir. Masnisin Rabbi Gamliel he. It's the third opinion, the one of Rabbi Gamliel. Ditnan Rabbi Gamliel oimir. Rabbi Gamliel says that chulin, regular food that's eaten by regular, normal people, everybody else, the whole of Klal Yisrael, necholin kol arba, that's only the 4 hours of the day. Truma kol chomish, koyanim are allowed to eat truma in the 5th hour of the day. V'soyrfin b'tchilas shesh, everybody burns their chometz at the beginning of the 6th hour. V'hochi ka'omar, and this is how we would read our Mishnah. Kol shor she'mutter lechil, all the while that it's permitted for somebody to eat. Who? For a koyin b'truma, all the while that somebody is allowed to eat, even if it's just a koyin to eat truma, then ma'achil le'behema, everybody, even a Yisrael who himself is not allowed to eat in the 5th hour, but he is allowed to be machil chulin lebehema lechayo le'oifis, he's allowed to give chulin to his domesticated animals, to his wild animals, and to his birds. Says the Gemara, lomo li lemisna behema, lomo li lemisna chayo. Why does the Mishnah have to single out that when you can feed your animals, not only can you feed your domesticated animals called behema, but also your beasts, your wild animals called chayo? There wouldn't be any difference between them. Just mention one and we'll understand what it means. And the Gemara is soon going to ask why it mentions oifis. Says the Gemara, lomo li lemisna behema, lomo li lemisna chayo. Says the Gemara, tzricha, I need them both. De'itana behema, if the Mishnah would have just said behema, which are domesticated animals, de'im sharia chozila, there's an advantage. You're going to give your animals right before the time of disposing of the chometz. You're going to feed your animal, as we said, according to Rabban Gamliel, in the 5th hour, you'll feed your animals. In the 6th hour, you have to dispose of all the chometz. So if you're giving it to your domesticated animals in the 5th hour, domesticated animals, if they leave anything over that they don't eat, you can see it. They don't hide it. And then you'll be able to dispose of it. Aval chayo, I may have thought that you're not allowed to give your wild animals, your beasts, to eat chometz in the 5th hour, the imasharia, because they have the habit that if they leave anything over that they haven't eaten yet, chometzanuli, they're going to hide those remnants of chometz. And if they hide those remnants of chometz, you won't be able to dispose of them. And therefore, I may have thought you're not allowed to give it to the chayos. That's why the Mishnah has to tell me, no, you can even give it to your chayos. Eimaloi, I may have thought no. V'eat, and that's what the Mishnah says you're allowed to. V'eat on a chaya, and if the Mishnah would have said that you're allowed to give it to your chayos, you're allowed to give the chayos chometz in the 5th hour, mishum di'im mesharia mihos mitzano. Because we know that if they are going to leave it out, they're going to hide it. And then at least the detail of bal yiroi, of not seeing chometz, you will not transgress. Aval behema, but the domesticated animals, zimnim d'mesharia, they sometimes leave it over, and they're not going to hide it. V'loy masiga da'atein, for whatever good or bad reason, it won't dawn on you that you have to look for the remnants of those chometz and either do bittel or do bior. You have to nullify it in your heart or dispose of it otherwise. V'koyole b'baliro b'alimotze, not only will you transgress b'alimotze because you'll have chometz in your property, you'll be transgress b'aliro as well because you'll see the chometz. They don't even hide the chometz. So I may have thought that you're not allowed to give it to your behemoths. Tzricha, that's why the Mishnah has to say that not only are you allowed to give it to your animals, to your behemoths to eat in the 5th hour, also to your chayos. Asks the Gemara, oifois lomoli, why does the Mishnah have to mention the birds? Says the Gemara, either the tonne behema v'chaya, tonne nami oifis. It's a group. Behemoth, chayis, and oifis are often mentioned together. Different types of the animal species. If the Mishnah already mentions behema and chaya, then that's a typical and common formula of behema, chaya, v'oif. The oif is mentioned as well, but without any specific chiddush involved. Continues the Gemara, umachoroi lenochri, asks the Gemara, pshita, if you already told me that I'm allowed to give it to my animals, behemoth, chayis, and oifis, to be able to eat, then why should I not be able to sell it to a goy? Says the Gemara, lafuke mehaitana, the Mishnah is coming to tell us an added element of chiddush to the exclusion of a different Tana, the Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Beshamai oimrim, lo yimkoir odom chemtsoi lenochri, a person should not sell his chometz to a goy, eloim kein yodea, unless he knows, yodea boy, sheyichle koidem pesach. Unless he knows that this goy and these particular chometz items, the goy is going to finish eating them, devouring them, and disposing of them before Pesach, then you can sell it to the goy. If not, every yid has the responsibility to make sure not only that the chometz is out of his domain, out of his entity, he's got to make sure that it's actually totally disposed of from planet Earth. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel say no. Kol shor shemuta lechil. All the while that a person is allowed to eat chometz, mutalimkir, he can sell it to a goy, even if the goy is going to then keep the chometz over Pesach. So it says in our Mishnah, umoicher lenochri, is to tell us you're allowed to sell it to a goy, not like Beshamai say that you're not allowed to sell it to a goy so close to Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Oimer, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira seems to be following Beis Shammai's line of thought, and is just giving an example, that kutach, we call mine kutach, different types of dips called kutach that are eaten slowly, they do not get eaten in large quantities at a time. Also, limkar shloishim yom koidim lepesach, in the last 30 days, you're not allowed to sell them to a goy before Pesach, because we take it for granted that the goy will not finish disposing of it before Pesach. Before 30 days, one can do whatever one wants, as we've seen earlier on in the Masechta, that there are no requirements to worry about chometz more than 30 days before Pesach. Continues the Gemara, umutar bahano. After the Mishnah has told us that in the fifth hour you can eat the chometz and you can give you can eat the chometz, you can give it to your animals to eat, or maybe you can't eat it. That depends. According to the way we said before, only a kohen can eat the truma in that hour. But either way, anybody's allowed to have benefit from it. Sell it to a goy, which is also a benefit. You're getting paid for it. And then the Mishnah adds, umutar ban also, he's allowed to derive benefit from it. Says the Gemara, pshita, if you're allowed to sell it, and you're allowed to give it to your animals to eat, of course you can derive benefit from it. Says the Gemara, loy, it's not so straightforward. Tzricha, there's an added element of chiddush, when it says umutar bahano, it's actually referring to that it's mutar bahano even after this time. What does that mean? If he singed it, if he scorched it, he burnt it to the point that it doesn't even look, or it doesn't look like chometz anymore, it doesn't taste of chometz anymore, and he did that before the sixth hour, he's allowed to continue having benefit from this even after the sixth hour. It's no longer considered chometz. If he scorched it and destroyed this chometz before the time is over, before the Isana, the Kumash Malon Kedarova, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that it's like what Rava said, the Omar Rava, Chorchoi Koidim Zmanui, Mutar Bahano, Afilu Le'achar Zmanui. So when it says here in the Mishnah, Mutar Bahano, it means that there's something you can do during this fifth hour that will actually allow you to continue having Hano from this even afterwards in the sixth hour and beyond. What's that? Make sure you scorch it till it loses its any remnants of it being a chometz. Continues the Gemara. Ovar zmanoi osur bahano. The Mishnah continues that after the fifth hour is over, it's now in the sixth hour, it's osur bahano. You're not allowed to have any hano from it. And here the Gemara, according to Rashi, says that the next three words in the Gemara, Rashi says they were not supposed to be printed in the Gemara because it's not so posh. There are those who hold that chometz is not osur bahano. We're going to learn about that later on in the Perek. But either way, let's read it because it's printed in our Gemara. Pshita, it's simple. It goes without saying that once the 6 hours started, it's osabano. Says the Gemara, lo yitzricha l'shoyiz derabonon. There's a chiddush here that we're talking here about the hour where it's only osar to have anah from it midrabonon, which is the 6th hour. Ovar zmano, once the 6 hour is over, then it becomes osar b'hano min ha-toira. But the Mishnah is coming to tell us, ovar zmano, even if just the 5th hour is over, and now it's in the 6th hour, and it's only midrabonon that it's osar b'hano, nonetheless, it's completely osar b'hano. What's the halachic ramification of that? The Omer of Gidl Omer Rav, Urchia Bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, HaMekadosh Mishei Shoyis Ulemailo. If somebody is Mekadosh a woman, he tries to acquire a woman by giving her, in what we today give a girl, a color, a ring, he wanted to give some chometz. So if somebody tries to marry a woman by giving her some chometz, just in the 6th hour, min ha-toira, you're allowed to have anor from this chometz. It's just the chachomim said you're not allowed to have anor. Afilo b'chite kur denisa, even those wheat kernels that are very stiff and hard, and they do not become chometz so easily. Nonetheless, if you have reason to believe that they could have become chometz, namely that water had spread on them, had they've become wet, that's what it means, over asmanu osar bano, that even though min hatayra this chometz has value and he should have been able to be mekadosh the woman, since midrabonon you're not allowed to have hanor from it, the kiddushin is as if she's not in choishishin, it's as if she's has had no kiddushin and she's not considered married. And we've already seen previously in the Masechta that this is because, number one, when a person makes a kiddushin, he does it kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. He does it called the mekadosh adat derabonon mekadosh. There's an unspoken, accepted condition to every kiddushin that it's on condition that the chachomim allow it, and here the chachomim do not allow it. And also hefker based in hefker, the chachomim have the ability to, so to speak, take something that belongs to a person and make it ownerless, and chometz in the 6 hour is considered ownerless, and therefore the person was mekadosh a woman with something that wasn't really his, and therefore she's not mekudeshes. This is how Rashi explained it earlier on in the Masechta. Continues the Gemara, that the Mishnah says, v'lo yasik bo itanur v'kiraim, that besides for not having hanor, you're also not allowed to heat up a stove, an oven, with this chometz. Says the Gemara Pshita, if you're not allowed to have hanor, why should I think that I can heat up my oven with it? Says the Gemara Loi, it's not so to be taken for granted. Tzricha, the Mishnah has to tell this to us. Why? L'Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that says in the Mishnah a few lines later, Da Omar ein biur chometz elo sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda says that the way to dispose of chometz is through burning the chometz. Sol kadaita chamina mev entered my mind to say, Hoyel v'omer of Yehuda mitzvose b'sreifa, since whilst I'm burning it, I'm actually doing a mitzvah of disposing of it, then behadi dekosoriflei lishani minei. Maybe the Chachomim allowed me to have hanor, to derive benefit from the chometz, whilst I'm in the process of disposing of it. Kumash melon, that's why the Mishnah has to tell us, not only can you not have other hanors from the chometz from the 6th hour, from the beginning of the 6th hour, but even to heat up your stove or your oven with it, which is a form of disposing of the chometz, even that you're not allowed to have any benefit from the beginning of the 6th hour. Says the Gemara. And now we're going to start a relatively long sugya, but let's start it. Omar Chizkiah. Chizkiah said as follows, Minayin l'chometz v'pesach she'osor b'hano. And now we're talking, biblically speaking, from the end of the 6th hour, we've taken it for granted that chometz after the 6th hour is osor b'hano. Not only are you not allowed to eat the chometz, you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. Where does it say that in the Torah? The Torah just keeps telling us, don't eat chometz. It does, and there's a mitzvah to dispose of the chometz. But where do we see this actual prohibition from benefiting from the chometz? Says Chizkiah, Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Loi ye'ochel chometz. Chometz may not be eaten. It doesn't say, Lo yoichel chometz, don't eat chometz. It says, Loi ye'ochel, it may not be eaten. A considerably stronger tense, lo ye ochil, that means lo yehe boy heter achila. Don't do anything with it that could cause a person to eat it. And deriving benefit could cause a person to eat it, since most benefits in the world are there ultimately for a person to eat. And even the money that he makes and other pleasures he has, he's at the end of the day, it's going to be channeled to his food, his sustenance. Since the Torah says, lo ye ochil, make sure you don't do anything that would bring you, even by mistake, to eat it, that means have nothing to do with it, have no benefit from it. That is how Chizkiah understood the words, lo ye ochil, says the Gemara. So from Chizkiah's words we understand, Tam de kosav rachmona lo ye ochil chomitz. It's only because the Torah says, lo ye ochil chomitz, chomitz may not be eaten, that we know that it's also osa bahana. Ha lo kosav lo ye ochil. If it doesn't use the term lo ye ochil, hava amina, I may have thought, isa achila mashma, isa hana aloi mashma. If it says lo yisoichal, lo yoichal, lo yisoichlu, any terms like that, that means don't eat. It doesn't mean don't have benefit from. Upliga de Rabavo. And in this aspect, Chizkiah is actually arguing with Rabavo. Da omer Rabavo, kol mokim shenemar lo yoichal lo yisoichal lo yisoichlu. Any place that, even if it doesn't say such a strong tense like lo ye ochel, it just says lo yoichal lo yisoichal lo yisoichlu, echod isa achila ve echod isa no mashma. It includes not only isa achila, but lo yoichal means don't have any benefit from it either, unless together with the lo yoichal, it says you are allowed to have hana, then we know that the lo yoichal only means don't eat it. But if it doesn't say explicitly that you're allowed to have hana, then lo yoichal means don't have hana. Unless the posuk explicitly points out that you are allowed to have hana, kederech sheparat lecha b'nevela. In the same way as the Torah pointed out, in the case of a nevela is an animal that dies not with shechita, or not, it just died, a corpse of an animal. You're not allowed to eat it. Are you allowed to have benefit from it? Yes, even though it says a term of lo yisoichlu, d'tani, because we learned, as we see in a braisa. And now we've had a machloikas Chizkiah and Rabavo, and now we're moving to a machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and a braisa, and we have to understand how Rabavo is going to learn these two tanoim. What does it say in the braisa? Lo yisoichlu kol nevela, the posuk says that one is not allowed to eat a nevela, an animal that's not been shechted properly. Lager asher b'sharecho titneno v'acholo, you should give it as a gift to a ger, which is literally translated a stranger. What it actually means is a goy that's committed himself not to do avodah zara, to keep the required requirements, the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. Then there's a special mitzvah in the Torah that such a type of a goy, we should sustain him, we should look after him. So if you have a nevela, then to these strangers, to these goyim called geirim, who that are living within amongst you, you should give it as a gift for them to eat. Or you can sell it to a regular goy, a goy that's not in the bracket of a geir. So that's the posuk by Nevela. It says lo yisoichlu, but at the same time it says you're allowed to give it to a geir and or sell it to a goy, which means you're allowed to have benefit from it. So it's explicit that you're allowed to have benefit. Ainli elo legeir b'nasina. And here the braisa is continuing. Before we get to Rebavo, back to Rebavo, let's learn the braisa. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Leseichlu kol nevela." You're not allowed to eat the nevela. You can do one of two things with it: either lager asher b'sharecho titneno, give it to a ger as a gift, va'achol of him to eat, or mocher lenochri, sell it to a goy. So, ein li elo lager b'nasina or lenochri b'mechira. If I read the pasuk literally, all I know is I'm allowed to either give it as a gift to a geir or sell it to a goy. Lager b'mechira, but to sell it to a geir, minayin. How do you know you're allowed to sell it to a geir? Maybe if you're giving it to a geir, you're not allowed to take money for it. Talmud loimer, so you have to read the pasuk, lager asher b'sharecho titneno oy mocher. That means you can read these words, you can put the comma in in one of two places, or actually in three places. Either you can put the comma as we read it initially. L'geira shebesharecha titneno va'achola. For a geir, you should give it as a gift. Comma. Oy mocher l'nochri, or sell it to a goy. That's one way of reading it. There's another way of reading it. L'geira shebesharecha titneno va'achola oy mocher. Comma. Which means to the geir, you can either give it to him or sell it to him. There's another way of reading it, and that is titneno va'achola oy mechoyer lenochri. You can give it or sell it to a goy. So the Gemara says that you can read this pasuk anyway, and at the end of the day, what the halachas are, and this is Reb Meir says at the end of the day, you can either give it as a gift or sell it to either a geir or to a regular goy. Let's see that inside. Ein di'elo l'geir b'nesina u'l'nochri b'mechira. But l'geir b'mechira, how do I know you're allowed to sell it to a geir? Minayin Talmud loyma l'geir asher b'sharecha titneno oy mechir. If you read it that way, then it says you're even allowed to sell it to a geir. L'nochri b'nesina minayin, how do you know you're allowed to give it to a gift to a regular goy? Talmud loyma, let's read the pasuk. Titneno v'acholo oy mechir l'nochri. Not only are you allowed to sell it to a goy, you're also allowed to give it to a goy. Nimtzes oimer, so if we make a summary of what we've learnt now, echod geir v'echod nochri, irrespective of whether it's a geir or a goy, bein b'mechira, bein b'nesina, you can either give it to them as a gift or sell it to them. Divi Reb Meir, that is how Reb Meir learnt the pasuk of Novela. Reb Yehuda oimer, Reb Yehuda argues with Reb Meir and says, no, dvorim kichsovam, read the pasuk the way we read it initially, legeir b'nesina u'lenochri b'mechira. You're allowed to either give it to the geir or sell it to a goy, but you cannot sell it to a geir or give it to a goy. That's Reb Yehuda. So now we have to really understand, in the parash of Novela, what did Reb Avohu say? Reb Avohu said that whenever it says lo yoicha, lo yoicha, lo yoichlu, then it means echod isra achila, echod isra hana. It means that it's also b'hana, unless the Torah tells you explicitly that you're allowed to have hana, like it does b'nevela. Let's assume Reb Avohu said that Novela is an example, that from Novela you see that you're allowed to have hana from the Novela. But everywhere else where it doesn't say explicitly that you're allowed to have hana, the Issa Achila includes an Issa hana. And now we have to work this through with Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir said that when it comes to Novela, you can give it, sell it to a goy, to a geir, it doesn't matter. You can do what you want with it, which means you can have hana. And this is, we can learn from Novela that only regarding Novela that it says lo yisoichlu, and it also says you can have hana. The reason that it says that in the Torah is to teach us that when it doesn't say you can have hana, then it means that it's osur b'achila and osur b'hana, and that's what Reb Avohu said. However, according to you can't say according to Reb Yehuda, the psukim by Novela are there to teach you that over here by Novela you can have hana, but everywhere else where it doesn't say that you're allowed to have hana, it's also b'hana. We wouldn't say that according to Reb Yehuda, because according to Reb Yehuda, it could be that you're always allowed to have hana, even when it says lo yiseichel. If so, why does it say here in the psukim you're allowed to have hana? Why would it spell it out by Novela? It's very simple, because according to Reb Yehuda, the pasuk is telling me you're only allowed to give it to a geir and you're only allowed to sell it to a goy, but and not the other way around. So according to Reb Yehuda, we would not see from Novela that wherever else where it doesn't say explicitly that there's a heter, a permission to have hana, we would not learn everywhere else that it's also to have hana. And that's contrary to what Reb Avohu said. So according to Reb Yehuda, Reb Avohu is going to have to find a different place from where we can learn that unless it says explicitly that it's muta b'hana, lo yiseichel means issa hana. Let's see all this inside. My time with Reb Yehuda. Why does, according to Reb Yehuda, why does he say that you're only allowed to give an avela to either give it to a geir or sell it to a goy? Because, and why doesn't he learn like Reb Meir that you can either sell or give the avela to either a goy or a geir? So he says, because ik sol kedaitoch kedomer Reb Meir, because according to how Reb Meir is learning the pasuk lichtiv rachmona, then the Torah should have just said legeira shebesharecho titneno va'achala u'machir. What's the word oi doing there? Oi lomoli. Why is the or in the middle of the pasuk? According to Reb Yehuda, understand what or is doing there. The or is splitting up. Either give it to the geir or sell it to the goy. According to Reb Meir, you can do whatever you want with it. It's not this or that. You can do either way. You can either give it or sell it to either a goy or a geir. What do I need the oi for? Shema mino ledvarim kichsavon. So Reb Yehuda says the reason it's an oi is to say you can either do just giving to the geir or just selling to the goy, but you cannot mix them. Reb Meir, it's a good question what Reb Yehuda is saying. How's Reb Meir going to explain why is then oi in the middle of the pasuk? Lahaktim nesina de geir lemechira de nachri, because the Torah wants to impress on us that. Because where's the oi? The oi is between the giving it to the geir and selling it to the goy. The pasuk wants to say, give it to the geir. Or if you don't want to give it to the geir, sell it to the goy. But you see that the Torah prefers that you give it as a gift to a geir rather than selling it to a goy. This preference the Torah has is learnt from the word oi. Oi is lehaktim nesina de geir lemechira de nachri, to give precedence to giving it to a geir then selling it to a goy. Reb Yehuda, according to Reb Yehuda, who he says that the oi is there to tell us that you can only give it to a geir or sell it to a goy, how would Reb Yehuda know that we prefer to give it to a geir than sell it to a goy? He says, ha loy tzarech kro, I don't need a pasuk for that. It's common sense. Kiven de geir atomatzuva lachyosei, since there are psukim in the Torah that tell us that you're required to sustain a geir and there's no such requirement to it for a goy, then there's no requirement to sustain a goy. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that we give precedence to giving it to a geir. It's logic. So that's just a local explanation why Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda argued with how they learnt the pasuk. And now we're getting back to our sugya. Bishleimele Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, who says that by nevela you can have any type of hanah, you can either sell it or give it to either a geir or a goy. De omar echod geir veechod nachri bein b'mechira bein b'nesina mid ischich kro l'mishu nevela b'hanah. The very fact that the pasuk has to tell us that you can have hanah by the nevela is coming to teach us that ha kol yisurim shebatayra, that all the other places in the Torah where it says lo yoichal lo yisoichal lo yisoichlu is asurin bein b'achila bein b'hanah. The very fact that in one place the Torah excluded and said you're allowed to have hanah is to teach us that everywhere else you're not allowed to have hanah. Elo le Reb Yehuda, according to Reb Yehuda, who says that the pasuk here is telling us not you can have anah, is telling us you're only allowed to have anah in very specific ways, either giving it to a geir or selling it to a goy. That dvarim kaksavon hu da'asa, the pasuk is coming to teach you that it has to be in exactly the way that it's written there, ha kol yisurim shebatayra, but then you wouldn't learn from here that everywhere else in the Torah, lo yisoichel means you're not allowed to have anah. It could be you're always allowed to have anah when it says lo yisoichel. You're allowed to have anah. The reason that the pasuk here by Nevela explicitly said you're allowed to have anah is just to tell us how to have the anah. Ha kol yisurim shebatayra minolin da asurim banah. How would you know that it's also banah? According to Reb Avo, Reb Avo said explicitly that whenever it says lo yisoichel lo yisoichlu lo yoichel, it means you're not allowed to have anah. Where did he learn it from? So it seems in the Gemara before that kederech shepiret lecho b'nevela, because we learn it from the fact that with nevela it says explicitly you're allowed to have anah. That only works according to Reb Meir. According to Reb Yehuda, you wouldn't be able to learn it from there. So according to Reb Avo's understanding, according to Reb Yehuda, we need to find a different pasuk that tells us that wherever it says lo yoicha lo yisoicha lo yisoichlu and it doesn't say explicitly you can have anah, it means you're not allowed to have anah. Where would we learn that from? Nafkalei, we would learn it not from Nevela, but from Treifa. Treifa is if an animal wasn't killed in a way other than Shechita, rather, if it has an illness, one of the 18 Treifas, which we learn about in Maseches Chulin Im Yirtzeh Hashem, where they render an animal as Treif, and over there it says explicitly in the Pasuk that The pasuk says melekelev tashlichu noisoi, that if you have an avela, if you have a treifa, sorry, then you're allowed to give it to your dogs, which is having hana. But that's not enough. If it would just say that you're allowed to give it to your dogs to eat, then it should have been good enough, like with nevela, according to Reb Meir, the fact that you're allowed to give it to a goy, to a geir, that was enough reason to say that here you're allowed to have hana to the exclusion of other places. But with regarding this, the throwing the treifas to the dog, that wouldn't be enough. Because I would have thought that the pasuk says, lakelev tashlichu noisoi, is not there to teach me that you're allowed to have hana, and only here you're allowed to have hana because it says, lakelev tashlichu noisoi. No, I may have thought that you can always have hana, even when it says, lo yoicha lo soicha lo soichlu. And over here, the Torah says explicitly you can have hana by giving it to your dogs, just in order to impress on us that Hashem even rewards dogs for the good things they did, because in Mitzrayim the dogs didn't bark, and Hashem gives reward even to the dogs. So that wouldn't have been a good enough source. However, there's an added word. In the pasuk of Treifa, after it tells us you're allowed to give it to the dogs, it says, Oisoi, lakelev tashlichun oisoi. What does that mean? Oisei atamashlich lakelev. Only treifus you're allowed to give to the dog, viato mashlich lekelev kol isurim shabatayra, to tell us that only here you're allowed to have benefit from it, but other isurim shabatayra you're not allowed to have benefit from them, because it says lo seichel, and only by treifa, where even though it says you're not allowed to eat it, you're allowed to have ano because it says oisoi together with the lekelev tashlichun oisoi. Says the Gemara of Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, that he already knows from the fact that it says by nevela that you're allowed to give it or sell it to a goy or a geir. We already know from there that everywhere else in the Torah, lo yoichal means that iser hana, and therefore we can understand why by treifa it says you can sell it, you can give it to your dog, because the pasuk has to say that even though you're not allowed to eat a treifa, you're allowed to have hana from it. But what's the oisoi doing? The oisoi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is telling us that only with treifa you're allowed to have hana from it and give it to your dogs, but other isurim in the Torah that says lo yisoichal, you're not allowed to have hana from it. Well, according to Rabbi Meir, we already know that from the vela. I don't need the word oisoi from treifa. Rabbi Meir, oisoi atomashlich lekelev, viatomashlich lekelev. Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir doing? Answers the Gemara, oisoi atomashlich lekelev is coming to impress on us that you're allowed to give treifa to a dog. All other Yisurim Shabbatayra, we know you're not allowed to give it to the dog, because it says, lo yoicha, lo seicha, lo seichlu. We learn that out from Nevela. However, there's one Issa, which is Chulin Shanishchutu Ba'azara, and there it doesn't say explicitly at all that you're not allowed to eat it. So there's no lo yoicha lo seicha lo seichlu there. So I may have thought that however we learn it, that you're not allowed to eat it, I may have thought you're allowed to give it to your dogs, you're allowed to have hana. No. The oisoi of treifa tells me that even by chulin that was shechted in the azara, you're not allowed to have hana from it, even though it doesn't say explicitly lo yoicha lo seicha lo seichlu. V'idoch. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who needs the oisoi of treifa to tell us that all isurim shabatayra, when it says lo yoicha lo seicha lo seichlu, you're not allowed to have hana, how does he know you're also not allowed to have hana from chulin that was shechted in the azara? V'idoch, answers the Gemara, chulin shenishchetu ba'azara lav d'oraisahu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the prohibition of having hana of chulin that was shechted in the azara is indeed not a biblical issa. We have no source, and it's taka only osam mid'rabbanon. And in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.